interrupted a current neo-Ukronio, climate-challenged, behaviorally-controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, pustulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 606. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get behind the woodshed. It's pretty much that simple. In a pharma-pushing philanthropath, we all seem to learn to despise and want to be free from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, like Nairobi will here. Nairobi court blocks Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's special privileges. The High Court in Nairobi has suspended the special privileges and immunities. Sound real familiar for us here, folks? You didn't know you had to have a special declaration to have any of those. They were granted to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in Nairobi, and the High Court just suspended those. In October 2024, the Kenyan government granted Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation special privileges, recognizing it as a charitable trust under the Privileges and Immunities Act. The Gazette notice described the foundation as a charitable trust fighting poverty, disease, and inequality across over 140 countries globally. The foundation was granted the status of an organization to which Section 11 of the Act applies. So you're taking notes here, folks, on how you do this, folks? It's right here. You, too, can be this foundation and get these things to work out. Just have all the right words in the right order. The Privileges and Immunities Act provides legal protections and exemptions for certain organizations, especially those engaged in international cooperation. Again, taking notes here. This is how it gets put together. These privileges include immunity from legal processes related to official duties, tax exemptions on salaries, and protection from immigration restrictions. The Law Society of Kenya argued that the immunities violated Kenyan laws and international agreements. On Monday, November 25, 2024, Justice Bahati Umwamuye issued a conservatory order barring the foundation and its officers, including directors, from enjoying any privileges or immunities under the Privileges and Immunities Act. The ruling states that the suspension will remain in effect until the inter partes hearing and the determination of an application filed on November 22, 2024. The conservatory order suspends the privileges and immunities of the foundation order and the legal notice of November 157 on September the 19th by the Cabinet Secretary for the Foreign and Diaspora Affairs and published in the Kenyan Gazette on October 4th, 2024. The court also prohibited the foundation, its directors, officers, staff, and agents from enjoying any immunities and privileges under the Privileges and Immunities Act, Chapter 179 of the laws of Kenya, or the cooperation agreement between the foundation and the government of Kenya, as outlined in the impugned order. Well, you see, listen very carefully how they've set all this up. This is like a roadmap for y'all who just want to start doing this too. Maybe actually do it right. But why hasn't this been done here faster than warp speed in the West with the Gavi, G-A-V-I, that global alliance for vaccines and immunizations that Bill Gates Foundation is involved in, puts lots of money into? Why haven't they moved faster than warp speed to do the very same thing? I've been amazed when I heard and seen what these people do and how they literally write themselves privileges right into the laws. And they get the handshake and the big grins and a lot of cash goes out. And then you are a special privileged person, aren't you? And the yellow fever, dengue, chikungunya, and Zika viruses, being no stranger to the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, or Bill Gates funneling money to the World Mosquito Program, which sounds a lot like they're in the business of making mosquitoes, doesn't it? What Bill Gates would characterize as flying syringes, he's called, or his organization is called. Well, this company has been bringing these Aedes aegypti mosquitoes to your backyard really soon if the EPA allows it. Add water and stir. EPA could approve GMO mosquitoes for consumers backyard. I don't know who you all are eating these mosquitoes, but watch out. They're going to be easier to get, I guess, for you. But the backyards, there they come. Oxitec, a UK-based biotech company, asked the EPA to approve its friendly brand, catch this, friendly brand, GMO mosquitoes, for sale in stores like Home Depot and Lowe's. Critics say that there's no data proving the insects are safe for humans or the environment. Is that human consumption? Eats the bugs, folks. A UK-based biotech company is seeking U.S. Environmental Protection Agency approval to sell genetically modified mosquitoes directly to U.S. consumers as a biopesticide. If the EPA approves the company's product registration application, Oxitec could sell boxes of GM Aedes aegypti mosquitoes under the brand name Friendly directly to the consumers across the United States in stores like Home Depot and Lowe's, according to GMO Free USA. After customers add water to the boxes, the GM mosquitoes hatch and take flight, according to Oxitec. Quote, Friendly males carry a self-limiting gene that, when passed on, prevents their offspring from surviving to adulthood. With regular releases of friendly males, the number of offspring is reduced, resulting in a reduction in pest insect population. Critics say Oxitec has failed to scientifically show that GM mosquitoes are safe for human health, endangered species, and the environment. GMO Free USA founder and executive director Diana Reeves told the Defender here, quote, It is mind-boggling that the EPA would consider the commercialization of a biopesticidal organism that has potentially consequential impacts on human health, endangered species, and other environment without thorough study. No such studies have been performed. Doesn't that sound a lot like your vaccines, folks? Just the same methods, too. There would be no informed consent, they're complaining here, meanwhile, anyone bitten by a GM mosquito would be unaware of any risks associated with the insects. GMO Free urges citizens to tell the EPA to deny Oxitec's application and do it today because the public comment deadline is 11:59 at Eastern Time today, December the 2nd. And so we're way past this. We even get the message. Those of you that are really interested in this, I would suggest you file a really quick letter of an extension of time on this that you just found out and you need some time, 3 months or more to put something together to make the comment here. And they can, and if a lot of you do it, they will extend that time. You've heard me talk all about this. When I saw this action you can take, even if it's late, you can bring your interest to this, make your comment, and then you're sitting ready to address this problem. Quote, we made it quick and easy for the public to submit a comment on the EPA docket, Reeves said. And so you get to the link and you'll see they have a link for that. But I'm going to talk a little bit after I finish this last little part that the EPA also should call for independent peer-reviewed studies on GM mosquitoes' impact on human health. So that's a request, and I'm going to ask you to consider those, but also be very careful. Before considering filing the form return comment, I would say don't do that. Form comments are considered one comment, no matter how many are submitted. It's the unique, pertinent, individual comment that are considered. So take the form from the link to this article in the Blogcaster as a guide. Read the rest of the article. I hardly even touched the topics to consider on this. Do some independent study. Make sure to read up on the relative laws and regulations making the authority of the EPA up and what it has been using, and then apply those new Supreme Court clarifications on what any federal agency's actual lawful purpose is and intent. Go research for that, and find if you find any defects, you compile those as well. So this is like a jurisdictional challenge on top of whatever they might be saying. If you get into the argument over what has and hasn't been done, that's not as powerful as saying, hey, you didn't even have an authority to receive the application. That'd be the best way to go. And if you've done your study right, you'll be one of the few that will be able to continue to go on if they do continue to move this along. So then you make all that compilation of information. You bring your thoughts together, what comes to you. You comment relative to those findings that you have, and you can add the comments from the form. The form, that one that you make is the same as the other, it will just count as one, but it gives you standing if that one is the one allowed and you feel the challenge still exists to advance it to the next level with anyone else contributing that same comment. And I've talked to you about this with the JMD, where we made some comments and we looked at the Waters of the United States definition, a simple definition. It had to go to the Supreme Court, and I think that one went to the Supreme Court, and the court came back and said that it was invalid. The point was we didn't get in that suit because it was maybe 7 to 12 attorney generals jumped in, and we read their papers, and their arguments in court were what we were saying, and so we didn't feel we had to jump in. However, if your comment's been denied and no one else has an argument over it, you have the opportunity, it's called standing, to jump in and do a judicial review of whether or not that was valid. So then once you put your comment, keep track of what's going on, and so then you're able now to do the next thing, if there's anything actually to do. They may very well just cut that out. I'm not so sure anymore, but you know, that's a good little story that way. I know we're a few days out now, but you can send a letter real quickly and demand an extension that you just heard about it, maybe even behind a woodshed, and move on this. And this is the kind of thing I've asked people to do, to flex your muscles, get your mind working in the right way. And while the administration's running wild, while we hope that the new administration coming in, the executive administration, comes and tamps all that back down to where it belongs with the help of these new Supreme Court cases, it helped to flex your muscles on how you're going to address these things coming into the world, and you can be a part of the solution instead of just sitting there and complaining about all this. But I had another thought about this as we're going. There was a post to ex-Twitter by on the GMO mosquito story by Crypticon.com, and I replied just announcing that it was there. And I didn't something like this start in Atlantis? Maybe some of you can remind me different. And though a disease spreading at the speed of a mosquito, or not even at a warp speed, but reported at warp, the UK has recognized its dependence on Russian fish. Hopefully they're not disease-bound, but at any rate, the story here, the all-Russian, I've been making a point to talk about these relative to these sanctions and the stupidity that's coming out of the West, slapping themselves in their own face, spitting into the hurricane and the like. And so now we see admissions coming. And I bring this stuff up for us to think for ourselves. We're making demands and we're doing things and we're having some things going on in our lives. Be cautious to think forward and in multiple steps about what your needs might be. So as I've said before, when you look at like in these comments, they make a comment and you find out that comment may be valid, but it's actually causing a new problem. It actually maybe comes in as a comment to allow these things, and you see there's a real problem. You need to be able to step up and say it. It's not that complicated. See, the administrative stuff is not that complicated. It's really just clearly thought out, laid out letters and your studies and your findings and summary statements, and then hopefully you've got it all backed up with some proof. That's going to be the best thing with the evidence, is going to help out. I can say, as I said, trying to think through what do we do at the JMD as well, I made a comment to the state, and they were going to, through the federal government as well, both going on, they were going to close off some creeks. One of the creeks happened to be where the mining claim is, and they were claiming that there was salmon, it was a salmon-run creek, and I could clearly see that they hadn't been up that creek for quite a while because there'd been a landslide that put a 25-foot wall of rock up. There was no water was going through it, but there was no fish coming through it. And this is for a couple decades. We put that comment in. That creek did not get listed. So this is how subtle it is, and we just kept going. But this is where you can help yourself a little bit. And in this particular case, it was directly affecting our mining claim at the time. My mining claim now, and that's still for sale for anybody that wants to get involved. Get into that and have your money in the bank. Literally sits right there. And do appreciate if anybody knows somebody, let them know. Have them get in touch with me. I need to get this thing sold. I need to be moving into a better place. But that dream, if you will, that plan has been interfered with, obstructed. It's not going to happen for me. It can happen for anybody else that's better situated than I am right now. So back to this story, though. what do we need in the world, and what do we need from people? And I told you, producers are going to be the ones that can produce are going to be the ones that anybody who needs that thing is going to be subject to. You're subject to your needs or what you think your needs are. So here's why I've been bringing these stories up, and we have to, as a society, start thinking ahead about all this. And that's why I don't think, as we look through the sanctions and tariffs and things, may not be so good for us. It may sound good on paper for economies and nations, but for people. And so here we are now. The UK has recognized a dependence on Russian fish. The All Russian Association of Fisheries Enterprises, Entrepreneurs and Exporters of Russia, VARPE, stated that the British authorities recognize their dependence on Russian fish. Therefore, they refuse to introduce new restrictions on duties in 2025. As stated in the RIA Novosti WARP, we are talking about autonomous tariff quotas that appeared in January, on January 1st in Britain, 2021, after its withdrawal from the EU. According to them, products from cod, pollock, and as well as various types of shrimp and cane sugar can be imported into the country without duty, the message says. In 2022, the UK imposed a 35% duty on a number of goods from Russia, including fish, seafood, and other fish products. This decision significantly reduced direct supplies to the country from the 15.8 thousand tons in 2021 to 74.4 tons in 2023. So here you are, your austerity and scarcity being foisted upon you, actually, with these measures. Quote, the sanctions restrictions which manifested themselves in protections, 35% duty, led only to a reconfiguration of logistics and an increase in prices to the end consumer, which negatively affects the availability of traditional dishes for English culture, explained German Zverev, president of WARPA. Earlier, it has been reported that the possible restrictions of fish supplies from Russia to the EU countries will primarily affect the European fish market. So billionaires like Trump and Musk and Ramaswamy and a number of others in his administration, Trump's administration, can afford these increases and won't care that the sanctions or higher tariffs adversely affect you or your family as Trump tries to bully other nations into submission on your dime or a dozen of them, despite your needs. And this is what I've been saying. Be careful on what's coming down with everyone thinking that Trump's the Messiah. And at this point, I'm not really feeling too enthused anymore at all, not even a chance, as I think is better. The myth and magic and archetype broadcast was reading that document was the figure, the method to analyze this by. It's, again, a reflection of what we want, but it's not what he is about. So, again, he says enough to get you to believe that he's talking for you. No, nobody that listens to me likely is a billionaire that's been going to be seeing anything that all the billionaires club is putting together for us before it's even been going on. Let's be careful on all this. We got to keep looking out for ourselves. These sanctions are going to have kickbacks and blowbacks, and we're going to have to be prepared if we want to continue to use those products and where we're going to get them. I was looking around at the price increases. It's going to be really raised the price of, in fact, it's a tax. It's an attack on poor people in the middle class. And the middle class is fast disappearing into the stinking abyss with the rest of the economic hardships that are coming down. So, again, people are going to have to figure out how we're going to move this thing through and be ready. Like I said, you're ready to make comments, and you know how to make them fairly well. You don't get all wordy. You just get to the point of what they're looking for, and you answer. If you're objecting to it, you answer it, and it's right. There's not a whole lot they can say about it. They're going to have to decide, do they want to push us while they have someone looking that knows the answer if it's wrong in the law? And so far, Trump seems to be, he may be be immune on the executive side. He may be able to do a lot of the executive, but again, as I said, nobody pressed the fact except for my trying to explain it to people, and hopefully somebody had his ear or had a better approach to tell him he didn't have the authority he did to cause the great Covey swindle at warp speed. It wasn't the federal government's authority at all. And so this is the kind of stuff he's going to be doing. And when we see the billionaires club that he's putting up with him, around him, we have to be very careful on this. And so the UK story being no fish for the people that use fish a lot, is, I think, relevant to us, for us to take care of and moving on in through the fish, and who in that fraud that they moved the Covey swindle through that almost ruined the wet markets everywhere as well. COVID-19 origin link to lab leak is a report. Lawmakers have concluded that the virus emerged from a research center in China while accusing others of spreading misinformation. COVID-19 most likely emerged from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. The U.S. Congressional Select Subcommittee on Coronavirus Pandemic has concluded in a 520-page report following a two-year investigation. Following a two-year investigation, all we can find is a likely emerged. Likely. And this subcommittee is part of the Catbox cover-up, I think, this report. As I think some of us would know, anybody who listens to me would probably likely have that in their thoughts. But the more I look at what they're saying and how they're saying it, it seems absolutely part of the Catbox cover-up. You'll notice that the committee is speaking only to symptoms again. That's what the COVID-19 means, as I've said, explained. That was flu-like symptoms. COVID, when they just said COVID without the number 19, they were referring to common cold. But symptoms is not the virus. And so look very carefully at what this report does not say. And no, I didn't read the 520 pages. I'm getting my reports off of statements and quotes from other reports. The point is I know what they're saying and doing here enough. And I think I did check a couple things and they were true. So I'm just going to keep moving with this. But you'll notice that they're talking aside the whole issue, which I found fascinating on this. And what people are promoting are the side issues. They're not really focusing in on the things that I told you to make sure you understand. So it's not, they're talking about symptoms. COVID-19 is only the symptoms, the flu-like symptoms. That's all that was, that name. It wasn't the virus. The virus had this other word, this other name. Remember, SARS-CoV-2. That wasn't a virus either. And so what's being reported is simply the promoted stuff. And then they refer to this congressional report that took 2 years to find likely emerged. No definitive anything. And so they admit it wasn't the virus where they describe something. When you read through the article here, it discovered that the virus possessed a biological characteristic absent in nature. And it discovered the unnamed the virus, this bogey virus, whatever it actually is, possessed a natural characteristics absent in nature. Can we say lab mate? If it's lab made, right there, we see it, and given it's lab made, and there is much better evidence for that with it being the protein string and only the protein string, which is not a viable virus, but an unnatural novel protein string causing a biological characteristic absent in nature. The other evidence is that the CDC held that patent from this unnatural substance in 2003. Remember, pull all these things together when you're reading this document, this congressional finding. And by patent law, the novel, things that are patented have to be novel, cannot be natural. So as you're parsing these words through, they're telling you exactly what you heard Ryan Oichet in some regard. There was no the virus. There is no way to have the vaccine. It was no way to be there. And this was not, there's nothing natural about it. So given this is a man-made, lab-made, unnatural agent patented by the CDC, how can this lab in Wuhan have originated the novel protein string? Because it can't be even the virus originating out of Wuhan lab if created by what is reported to originate out of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, a decade or so before that. And this next paragraph is true as we read through, because the patented novel protein string was a relatively secret U.S. government-funded creation at home. That the article says the report claims that Chinese government agencies within the United States government and some members of the international scientific community, quote, sought to cover up facts concerning the origins of the pandemic. That is what Wuhan did. We look at the history of the news that hit us when it started to roll out, but didn't figure, China, Wuhan did not figure on being the fall guy, the scapegoat to be blamed for it, and decided, I think here, as I said before, this is all just a recap on these stories, but it's coming out, this congressional report's going to be the official thing. But they decided to leak the patented secret formula to the world to cover its backside, exposing that entire scheme to those with eyes to see and ears to hear. But China accomplished that, and in compliance with the sharing of data privilege allowed under the Biodiversity Treaty for these sorts of things. I've talked all about this as well. So start including all this background, and you start to read these reports, these articles describing this. I would hope a lot different, but even a little bit different. And so what the lab leaked by transmission to the world was the secret protein string data, not the virus that didn't exist. But, you know, tell a lie enough times, right? I mean, this is how this works, it seems. And boy, oh boy, went around the world. It was first detected here, the article says, in the central Chinese city of Wuhan in December 2019. The coronavirus spread far beyond the country's borders, killing over 7 million people across the world. And I can't even get into all the errors that are here, and how do they know and all that. I won't even touch that. I'm just trying to go through a little process here to discuss this article. And if you're interested, you go back and you can listen and read for yourself, get your own observations of what's going on here. And I think it's going to be important to have those eyes to see this in its totality, because what's coming up may not be so easy to see, as I've told you here in Operation Hindsight 2020, in mentioning all this in 2019, moving into 2020, before it even got started. So that's pretty sneaky, you hear this thing to say, because the Wuhan labs in the central Chinese city in Wuhan is right there, and so is that wet market promoted as the origin. So by saying the central Chinese city of Wuhan, they were both right there in the center of the Wuhan. It's, I thought, pretty sneaky. So which is it? Well, the report right on and on we go. Says on the outset of the pandemic, the theory suggested that the virus emerged at a Chinese wet market. The document claims that researchers at the lab, quote, were sick from the COVID-like virus in the fall of 2019, months before COVID-19 was discovered at the wet market. By nearly all measures of science, if there was evidence of a natural origin, it would have already surfaced, the report went on to say, admitting there is no natural origin and these unnatural characteristics, COVID-like, causing flu-like symptoms, is not the virus. And people at the lab somehow got inoculated with the novel protein string. And how did that poor dupe getting off the plane in Washington contract the non-existent virus anyway? Well, he didn't. Again, this is all theater for us. Remember, that was flu season, right? It was coming in. I was predicting it way early in December as well, as I was watching the reports coming from years before. It was getting worse and worse. This flu, that they still haven't identified, was building and getting worse and worse. There's no scientific test, remember, on this guy getting off the plane? And the science hasn't found a thing, right out of this report, hasn't found a thing, because by nearly all measures of science, if there was evidence of a natural origin, it would have already surfaced. The report admits, right there, we don't have the virus, and we have a novel protein string. We have an unnatural substance. So have we heard enough, folks? I mean, has the cat finished its cat box duties? But there's more. And now we get to the other admission in this report. These congressional kitty litter pilers must have been listening behind the woodshed, because they repudiate the entirety of the government's response, where we read, the report by the select committee also blasted the response of the officials, saying, quote, members and staff have exposed high-level corruption in America's public health system. Yes, is systemic corruption, bipartisan bribery, dereliction of duty, breaching the constitutional establishment in both federal and state laws, breaching those to cause all this irreparable harm. And by that organic federal-state establishment reserving health matters to the states, state law cannot and does not recognize a pandemic, which, if valid, requires a non-fraudulently demonstrated infectious agent to exist over two arbitrarily decided international regions, which the local jurisdictions do not extend to recognize that pandemic, if we want to give it an entertainment, it's something. And their authority is only confined within their lawfully established territory or the authority by law, and then to only what we were called outbreaks and epidemics. So this congressional report makes no distinction between its own internal state and federal laws or the international law. It just brushes that right on over. There's no limitation. In fact, I would say that this congressional report's outside of its own authority. It can't look at a pandemic because there's nothing like it in the country. There's nothing like it in any one country at all, if we give it validity, but it's not valid. So the committee has reported and exposed a high-level corruption, as you was told here behind the woodshed, and we can expect accountability now, right? Yeah, can we? Well, not so fast for the ambiguity challenge dupes. The committee confirmed the most likely origin of the pandemic, held COVID-19 bad actors publicly accountable, fostered bipartisan consensus on consequential pandemic-era issues. So accountability for mere likelihood is done here, folks. The committee has spoken. They've held COVID-19 bad actors publicly accountable, fostered bipartisan consensus in consequential pandemic-era issues. The uniparty agrees justice is done for the admitted consequential irreparable harms. Trump is exonerated, well, not quite as fast as at warp speed, but by consensus. Not actual science or judicial due process, but climate change, don't you know? The cat box cover-up is finished. Nothing to see here. The cat's meow. What's for lunch? And as you can see, just as you've been told behind the woodshed, pledges mean nothing and pledges aren't actionable. Candidates can pledge till they're blue in the face or they garner your vote, essentially. That's what they pledge for. But if they don't follow through, there's nothing anyone can do about it relative to that pledge. On top of that, in this case, the president is also immune, even if the pledge might have some force enforcement potential here. Well, we read another breaking story, a big deal, the denial, and then the follow-through, another cat box cover-up, a big monster cat box here. Big pile of litter. President Joe Biden pardoned his son, Hunter, on Sunday night, sparing the younger Biden a possible prison sentence for federal felony gun and tax convictions and reversing his past promises not to use the extraordinary powers of the presidency for the benefit of his family. Do we stop right here and say, how does a father not? But more than that, this is a big issue, big deal. This is way beyond some obvious little benefit that Hunter got. This is a very extensive problem, and it starts to show us very interesting conditions. And I would like to see this actually followed through, where we look at the reasoning, and we start applying the reasoning, and we start to come to a totally different possibility. I don't think we're going to see it, but it's right there to expose the system way more than I think Joe Biden ever thought about this. The Democratic president had previously said that he would not pardon his son or commute his sentence after convictions in the two cases in Delaware and California. The move comes weeks before Hunter Biden was set to receive his punishment after his trial conviction in the gun case and a guilty plea on tax charges, less than 2 months before President-elect Donald Trump is set to return to the White House. In a statement released on Sunday evening, Biden said, quote, "I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process and it led to a miscarriage of justice." But isn't his regime the one that openly injected lawfare for political ends? And when he mentions the justice system, he means the Bar Association and its members. And Biden used to be an attorney. I don't know if he could ever not be one, but he's not practicing, I don't think. And so why would he not believe in something he's been involved in for a very long time? So when he says he believes in the justice system, I'd have to ask, in what way? Because whatever that way is, it didn't meet Joe's approval with his son. Article goes on to say, today I signed a pardon for my son Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making, and I kept my word even as I watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Well, he's opened that floodgate with the reasoning right there, don't you think? Selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Is he going to pardon the millions of people that reason fits in this just us injustice system? Clearly, that was done to Trump. The J6 folks, the unknown political prosecutions that we may not ever hear about, Julian Assange, the Bundys, the ranchers, farmers, miners, other property owners, most every traffic stop, and a host of others, literally in the millions, that have suffered this justice injustice system. And if he doesn't pardon those millions, well, let's just say the mafia never had it so good. Biden granted his son Hunter a full and unconditional pardon. The White House document covers any crimes committed or taken part in from January the 1st, 2014 to December the 1st, 2024. A pardon that covers offenses that have not been charged can only be compared to the pardon given by the President Gerald Ford to the former President Richard Nixon in 1974 in the wake of that Watergate spying scandal. Nixon was assuring us he was not a crook. So how big a crook is Hunter not? Now, this pardon is even more comprehensive than one given Nixon. It not only covers the bagman Hunter, but also the big guy, Don Biden, also. Don Trump coming in too now. But there's a real problem in such a sweeping pardon. If you think a little bit about that, Hunter can't rely on the Fifth Amendment if he's ever called in before Congress to answer about the crime family's goings on. Not as a prosecution, as a finding out about the family's goings on relative to the function of government. And if the injustice is true, and it likely is, then the system is not one of justice, but the very politics used against Trump. For Trump to say the pardon is, quote, an abuse and miscarriage of justice, his objection amounts to and promotes the same injustice Biden felt. And all this political just us is caused by the Bar Association-controlled and unduly influenced judicial branch having broken the judiciary with the political party and special interest help. They're just complaining about their own game. It's now turned on them somehow. The judicial branch has failed to keep the republic, for our matter, and reduced America lower than even the caricature of democracy that America was not even supposed to be anyway, and diminished sustainably so by this domesticated foreign agent within the gates. There is no basis for trust, confidence, or faith in the Bar Association system. They both seem to be supported here while objecting to it. These presidents of a country, they're both supposedly supporting it, but they're objecting to it at the same time, whether for the selective or unequal prosecution or the miscarriage of justice. The very system that Trump wants to make great again by moving deck chairs, it seems, by his objection. The very system that hit the iceberg and began sinking a century or so ago, if not sooner than that. That would bring us into the time I say that we've got Lincolnized. It's only kept afloat by the perception-managed public to be oblivious to the stinking abyss these exploiters, and part of them, are now saying they want to escape to Mars on your dime over. We live in justice, not justly. So my look at it, can we scuttle this just-us-injustice system now, please? We've got enough. Two presidents now agree. for the different reasons, but they combine together relative to this cancer that's in this country. For the sake of government efficiency and keeping the republic for all, can we just now scuttle this thing? Not just for the organized crime family, seen and unseen, or the billionaires, right? Right, Musk, Vivek, Trump. We're bringing along down to the people, the ones that you're going to be destroying here. The Hunter crime family pardon highlights these failures of a republic not kept, and the occupiers didn't want you to see, now hoping you won't do anything about it and will leave it to the they to fix it. Right, Trump? For instance, take the mention that RFK Jr. intends to require the removal of high fructose corn sugar from Coca-Cola and replacing it with cane sugar, but not eliminating the irreparable harm-causing atrazine that is sprayed on the sugar cane, which will enjoy a much better exposure to the population if this goes through. You know, the pesticide we were talking about last episode, atrazine, that causes the fertility problems, which would support a population extermination agenda to save Gaia. And further here, if we keep moving and thinking through, if America is said to be healthy again beyond removing high fructose corn syrup, why didn't he also propose restoring Coca-Cola to its original natural ingredient-based medicinal form, including coca leaves and cola nuts instead of synthetic caffeine? So we might have here a problem, Houston, because as of yet, I didn't read a statement by RFK Jr. saying he would actually do that. So this mention of the high fructose corn syrup removal was a post on an ex-Twitter that the only place now to get the real news, I suppose, as we are told now, as recently promoted by P.T. Barnum Musk. But there is evidence to the contrary that at least apparently RFK Jr. is addicted to high fructose corn syrup. So notwithstanding this news, where we get our news now at ex-Twitter, you look around and you'll find some other facts. Because we saw, or any those of you that did, saw in that picture, ostensibly taking in an airplane, the HH Secretary nominee, RFK Jr., being photographed a couple weeks back, sitting with President-elect Trump, Donald Trump Jr., Elon Musk, eating from McDonald's with a Coca-Cola by his side. So talk about the tactic of ambiguity pressing for a disaster. And that's one reason why this administration is already looking very dangerous, as I've explained prior, because you know them when you see them. It's time to now seize them. I mean, arrest them. Trump may be immune, but he can be pressed to do the right thing, even so. Trump's legacy is very important to him. It would be a shame if his legacy be tainted in the court of public opinion, even before it begins. So I think it would be a good time to call him out on this. I've said I think he can be directed. Right now he's being directed by others. We might have the ability to do the same thing. We need to bring the facts, though, and the law, and the hypocrisy that we see to educate and persuade the court of public opinion so no opinion to the contrary can remain, even to Trump himself. So remember, he still believes the warp speed attack on we the people and the people in the world is terrific, what he launched. Present tense, it's still going on, and it's coming back. You know, they're gearing it up. But we, the unduped people, have our work cut out for us in this regard, because clearly it's time to get behind the woodshed now. Who's going to arrest this tiller from these guys right now? Very weighty considerations going on. And I found another correlation here about out there, as I talk a lot about out there, the international sense. Remember that carnival mirror. The out there about the war against us. Indicative of the same thing happening in the U.S. of A. for the same reason, though, unseen to most, it seems to me. So I'm going to read only the pertinent parts for us in this next article and tell me, I guess, talk to yourself because you can't actually interact with me, but tell me which country does this condition apply to? The reason is the lack of sufficient support and solutions to the housing issue. People simply have nowhere to live, even if they work. There is not enough money to afford rent. Now, irrespective of the actual place from the article, where does this condition apply? I hope some of you, if not all of you, said the United States. And I hope you all will remember, I read a couple of reports recently about the homelessness condition that went to the Supreme Court. The homelessness of which was said that people simply have nowhere to live, even if they work. There is not enough money to afford rent. In particular, an interview by a news company that showed a guy who has a job and can't make enough money and has to live as a homeless, someone who's homeless in a tent. I hope you remember that story. The homeless lost that battle in the post-founding father era Lincolnized adversarial Civil War courts called the judicial branch of government, becoming your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Apparently, so the government can cause you to continue to be tired, poor, and huddled, and as hopium springs eternal, as you also continue to yearn. That the lost court battle was from Grants Pass, Oregon. The adverse judgment quickly spread to many other places in America. So this condition of people simply having nowhere to live, even if they work, there is not enough money to pay for rent, is an agreed-to condition as U.S. governments serve the people, though it's not limited just the homeless as more and more people find themselves unable to meet the rent. But what is the cause for this condition? Is the news article from some places in the United States, or is it, as I've explained, out there, but relevant and reflective of what is happening right here at home? And more importantly, what is its cause? So let's go back to the article to read where this condition exists and what the cause is for the condition evidenced also in the home of the brave. Well, except for those tired, poor, huddled masses yearning, of course. Yearning in the face of adversity is bravery, though, isn't it? From the article, it says, quote, "The reason is the lack of sufficient support and solutions to the housing issue. People simply have nowhere to live. Even if they work, there is not enough money to afford rent. The government is not doing enough to support the displaced as it currently lacks resources due to war." Due to war, the reflection of the very condition suffered in the land of plenty that we are propagandized to believe, though. Let me offer another included nuance that in the United States, this is additionally not just due to war, but because of war directly against the population by the occupiers within, given there is seemingly an endless full faith and credit of the people, how else would there be want? See, there's a war against the people described in the article about over there. Oh, and I didn't say quite yet where, did I? The war fomented by the U.S. government itself against another people. The title of the article is "Kiev Fires Official After Mariupol Revelations in the Ukraine." Yes, over there, over here, is the same war against Americans being waged by those the CIA recognized administration federal states called districts, administrative districts of America against we the people. This is the Lincolnized form. The CIA, it's in their world factbook. I've talked about this for years. And why was this guy fired? Because he exposed the lack of resources provided by the U.S. bought and paid for government over there. That the nuance here, the distortion reflected in the International Carnival Mirror and being missed, is that not providing resources in America is the weapon against we the people in the land of plenty, especially in this land of fiat, which fiat currency, being debtor instruments, provides no resources whatsoever. That war being waged for over 100 years, now evidenced in the ever-enlarging numbers of the tired, poor, and huddled masses exposed to the economic elements of fraud and being destroyed by local government, with every increasing casualty in these political or economic war against all of us. So I was interested in that article until I found the notice to us in those two paragraphs, because if you don't have to be told that you are an occupied people, because as it says in international law of war written during the Civil War by Francis Lieber, called General Order 100, the military law that governed the wartime conduct of the Union Army by describing a command responsibility for war crimes and crimes against humanity that was promulgated by El Presidente Abe Lincoln, subsequently made international law through the Hague Conventions, is what we're looking at. Notice it's a war administration jurisdiction. Article 1, right on top, the most important one to be stated first, paraphrase, says you don't have to be told of the military occupation in war because you knows them when you sees them. There's always a link at the Live Libre Code near the bottom of every broadcaster if you had an interest to gain a better foundation for what you're witnessing of the world here. So you knows them more of what to see so you can go ahead and seize them. Don't wait around and don't wait them to seize you. You arrest them as international law and the Constitution of the United States agrees and imposes as a reservation by we the people are on ourselves the duty and obligation to alter and abolish any maladministration of government, in particular, a war against us by the government. Evidence in the conditions of at least among us, the least among us here. Also the obligation of a moral people to cure the problem caused by the war. The first casualties are the tired, the poor, and huddled masses yearning. Yes, I know it's just a poem, but regarding the Statue of Liberty, but you know them when you see them, nevertheless. And liberty is not about being free, but being subject to the range of motion within a frame of constraint called freedom on the ship of state by order of the ship's master. And it's highly likely you're not in Kansas anymore, and Toto too. Those are deep subjects going on right in front of us. We were supposed to care for the least among us, and we're really not. The government's attacking us is evidence of a war against us. It's evidence, as I've been saying, again, of an occupied territory. And I've said for years, Palestinians were the open-air prison that people didn't recognize in the United States. Yet the news is telling us all about it, whether I look over internationally or I apply that back over here. The cause is war for this suffering. But why is the government at war against the people? You'd think that'd be a trust breach. But the people are not, I guess, understanding that. And they're not willing to step up and protect themselves. Now, I'm talking in mass, not anybody, one of you who may be wanting to do that. It's not so simple. I've been telling you, it's not so simple. And it's not something that necessarily that your Second Amendment can fix. And that's another thing I noticed the billionaires talking about. They get you all wrapped up in all these constitutional things. They're not going to fix none of it. Talking about the Constitution is not going to be reflected that way. They just get you all hoping that you're going to be able to use it. And it's not being used at all, actually. And to evidence the ongoing incremental movement toward a global financial system agenda, which magnifies this whole problem. Remember, it's going into austerity. That's where you're driving all the rich, so-called rich. Always jokeable. That's a joke, right? How are you using dead instruments and be rich? See, that's how they got us. The Kremlin responds to Trump's BRICS threat. You know, I've been talking about this battle here between, well, what the they are doing to think that there's something going on between the nations. In fact, they're all moving toward the same direction and for the same purpose. That could be, even though they seem so intelligent, they could be doing it in ignorance. That's what's interesting about all this. The Kremlin responds to Trump's BRICS threat. It's a big bully. Spokesman Dmitry Peskov has warned that the U.S. president-elect warning will only accelerate desires to abandon the dollar. The Kremlin's spokesman has weighed in on the U.S. president-elect Donald Trump's weekend threat to impose 100% tariffs on BRICS countries if they pursue the creation of a currency to replace the dollar. Peskov stressed on Monday that American pressure will only accelerate a growing global trend toward national currencies in trade, diminishing the greenback's role as a reserve currency. And I would say he's telling the truth, because that's where they got to get rid of that in that for that basket, remember? But remember, one of the first stories in the broadcast was what happens to the people, the consumers of these products with these tariffs. Trump may not feel it. He's a billionaire. Musk may not feel it. They'll sit on that airplane and they'll have their Coca-Cola and their McDonald's. Maybe that fish fillet that they're the only ones that can afford it. I think, in fact, Donald Trump had a fish fillet, if I remember that correctly. But accelerate a growing global trend toward national currency is true, that sanctions haven't worked, so why would Trump beat his head against that wall and resort to more sanctions, or in the form of tariffs, essentially? And remember, tariffs will likely increase the cost to we the people, and taking more funds from us while we struggle increasingly to make those ends meet as they drive even the middle class down into being homeless. Have a job? You still can't afford a place to live. It's the news. It's telling us what's coming. And it's like we'll end up doing more to advance our living in austerity, living austere. So do you hear the agenda right there? Putting sanctions in the form of tariffs, which the revenues would go directly to the government, while we, the people, pay more later in causing the acceleration from a growing global trend toward national currencies that is a step toward the global economic new world order that they want. So I don't see Trump as not out of that. I don't see him as any savior. He could be. There's still things he could do that. But I'm not seeing anybody that he's putting up around him, this new techno swamp, that's going to advance anything other than the future that they want. Peskov noted that this shift is not limited to BRICS nations, but is a broader movement worldwide. The sanctions and dollar weaponization drives the herd of impoverished nations to seek what they think is a refuge, a safe harbor, the ships of state all seeking a safe harbor, that they're actually fattening the fattening phase for the future financial slaughter of these nations as they promote national sovereignty, but you have to give up your sovereignty in order to be part of a member of essentially a trade currency union. The use here of national currencies, the article goes on to say, in trade is becoming increasingly common as more states seek alternative to the dollar, particularly in light of the Western sanctions and the weaponization of the financial system. Again, reflection back into our own world, into our home. The weaponization of our own fiscal and monetary system against us. And that was our choice, actually. So part of me always is thinking, but we could have stopped it just by not participating and do that in mass. And we haven't done it yet. And I'm hoping these examples, maybe this broadcast, will be a little peak in interest in order to get a little bit more people into understanding what we have to start maybe thinking about it for ourselves, because it doesn't seem that the billionaires are. So it sounds really cool what they want to do, but when you start looking at what that two and three steps down the road, maybe not so good. And it doesn't. I'm not saying we need big government. I'm saying we probably need no government. But there are conditions now that we're in that we have to have a transition time. If you aren't going to do it yourself, there's going to have to be a transitionary, because you can do it on your own quicker. But if no one's going to do it, and we're going to save ourselves, we can't be going down this primrose path. And so they're going to these national currencies. They're weaponizing the financial system. They are telling the truth right there, but it's a system they're going to is weaponized as well. The countries themselves are then also, see, they'll eat their own as well. And I find this is an interesting backdrop that we're already hearing, like examples in China use these weaponization against the billionaire violators that they're now bringing to the news and telling people. And the nation's economy will be deemed no different as a billionaire being stopped by a country. A nation will be stopped by this weaponized financial system in the future. So you're going to pay the government your property and your billions to avoid a death sentence in favor of life imprisonment and hard labor is the new method that you were seeing China roll out with that becomes the method that they do for everybody. Everybody becomes that criminal, like they did in the Patriot, PATRIOT Act. Everyone's a misdemeanor and an extremist ready to be, you know, picked up and seized for any little thing. You're watching it weaponized. Then they come to you and they say, well, we want everything you got and your money until you avoid a life sentence. And then we'll put you back in the system that we need, hard labor. And you already know there's a prison industrial complex to pick you up right there. So this is an interesting development coming through as we're watching the billionaires rise up in the United States under administration government, and then China's taking out those billionaires in another country, and they're put into service. And the only one I think that sounds immune to me in this would be Trump, and the rest of them fall. Like you do any collaborator in any war we've ever heard about, they shoot collaborators, don't they? Well, this is what playing out a little bit. So following the special drawing rights, SDR method on the suggestion of the global pattern here requires that basket of national currencies that for the BRICS plus nations is the SDR from their basket of currencies, and they call that the unit. It's the very same thing. It just has a different label on it. And this is the working device needed prior to the global implementation and why Peskov warned Trump that tariffs will only accelerate the desire to abandon the dollar. That isn't a warning so much as telling Trump, go ahead, make my day. In other words, do this, we're ready for the next phase, which is to provide the vehicle allowing all lesser economic nations to be brought to the economic parity that we need to have them so that they and their currencies can all be brought together into one global basket as the world de-dollarizes for that financial transformation when the block chained to the global monetary and fiscal master and of which the Russians appear to be taking point in the assault is involved. And we know that because Russian President Vladimir Putin during the BRICS summit at Kazan in October pointed out that while Russia hasn't rejected the dollar, that Russia has supported the development of a BRICS bridge platform designed to facilitate settlements in national currencies, including via digital channels. So they're not rejecting the dollar. And I've reported on this. It's not even new. I'm just pointing together. You can see it kind of now gelling really nicely together. And it looks like Trump is against them and all. But the direction of this ship into this iceberg, everybody's in the world is on this big giant ship, and it's going into an iceberg. And so everyone's playing their part to get it there, I suppose, whether they do it because they know or they do it by accident and they don't. So how hard will it be to connect the BRICS parity-sized digital channel with any other parasitized digital channel in this global system? So remember, this is on the national level. The plebs don't need to know about this sustainable servitude. Putin goes on to admit beyond the lack of rejection by Russia of the dollar that it has had to find, Russia has had to find alternative financial systems to circumvent Western control over global financial infrastructure. So, and notice that this is what this is doing. The global financial system is not of a Western nation control. It's foreign to all nations, reduced to member parties of the private non-governmental organization control that they're bringing this into. So the results is to circumvent the Western control, as Putin says. It does that because it's not going to a national control. There's no national control. It's private control, just like you see the Fed. So if they wanted an actual alternative to the demonic dollar, why not just choose the gold and silver and raw materials and commerce values instead of maintaining a fiat or debt system, not rejecting it? And this is where they get they're putting their feet on either side of that fence. If they went to the substance, the asset, there would be nobody that owes them, nobody here. Nobody would have any owing because it's a value for value. But the transformation agenda that Trump was just given the high sign to trigger doesn't intend nations, let alone people, to be free. It'll cost you whether anyone ever sees that or not. They would prefer you not to know how your sausage is made or that your goose is cooked, because you do have the answer. I've been talking about it periodically, routinely, and more so in the last couple years. This is BTWRLM 606. And what I've been saying about stimulating an economy, but to turn to production, We see it in the news as well. The examples of what the countries are going to, these BRICS plus. And the problem is that they're not rejecting the dollar, absolutely. And it's a hard thing to do. I'm not saying that any of the nations at this point could actually do that. The United States dollar is a powerhouse. There's no doubt. I'm not rejecting or not denying any of that. There is a transition, and it takes will and persistence and long-term persistence for them to wean themselves off and start doing this. But we're seeing what the countries that are more capable are able to do real quickly, and others are developing. Let's say in Africa, they're developing. That Iran's major gold mine reports surge in proven reserves. So understand what's going on here. They even have this report. They started looking. They've been talking behind the scenes. They know exactly what they need to do. And so they're not a dumb people. They're looking ahead. Iran's largest gold mine announced a significant increase in its proven reserves, the officials expressing optimism about the potential of boosting output and creating jobs in the country's northwest. This development increases the extractable gold reserves of 116 MT, extending the mine's operational lifespan from 25 years to an estimated 65 years. Mohammed Harvin, the acting CEO of Zarshoron, a mining company, emphasized that this expansion is expected to attract more investment and generate employment opportunities in Iran's West Azerbaijan province and neighboring areas. So again, start putting together, as I'm reading these paragraphs, what they're looking to do, and it's happening, and this is what they expect. And this is what gets their economy to move along on its own. They don't need, the dollar will not be any part of this, actually. Because what they have to produce, in this case, is the gold. That'll turn around for value. It turns around for value. And so this is what I was talking about. So this is exactly what they're doing right now. Amid international sanctions, the why, they're having to accelerate that, impacting its oil exports. Iran has increasingly focused on developing its mining and metal sectors to drive economic growth. So, and you think I'm talking about Iran. Why is there obstructions and impediments placed on American producers? Why, for instance, obstruct the miners in America if the U.S. and the state governments actually want your life and that of the nation to improve? When they're talking a big, you develop a mine and you see people can go to work for 65 years. Why are the United States governments, the state and the federales, why are they stopping our producers? Why are they over-regulating? Oh, we're going to hear all the new regimes coming in, the administrations coming in, we're going to stop all that regulation. Yeah, we're going to be helped that way like we were last time, but look very careful at who's moving in and who's moving on these new systems and things, and the refinement, the monopolization inside. I make suggestions to how they can make a better production, invoke the miner to go find and patent his mine, remove the obstruction for a miner to put his patent application in. You think that some Congress creators I've contacted on the X Twitter have responded to say, you know, that's something we do need to do? No, they're too clueless, they're too ignorant, or they realize what that would do that you hear Iran doing right now. They're leading the way. In this country, we're way different. We have the people that own that land or dispose that land and can work that if we need. And it's stuff that's not necessarily regulable. That gold is now sanctioned, if you will, for an American to a hefty fee is really a breach to the establishment. It's a breach to their land disposal laws. And so we have some major problems that a lot of people don't even understand. But if our nation wanted to improve, you see Iran's doing it. Why are we doing it here? Especially now, if you hear China is now going to cut out what the germanium and other gallium, those metals they need for semiconductors. See, now they're going to start playing hardball, and there's really no reason for any of it. But you see where the nations go is where you got to start thinking of how you're going to bring some raw material to you, raw resource to you. Your own self, how you work, what you do, how you peddle yourself, if you will. Don't get into a master-slave relationship. Learn how to defend your private contract rights. And so this is they're telling us. The nations are responding to being under the thumb of Uncle Sam, and they're tired of it. I told you they were tired of it, but unsuspecting and wanting to get out. That wanting to get out is going to drive them into another system. Yeah, they can still get out of it, I suppose, but if they're into it, and they're not paying attention, they'll be lulled into the next one. It's so simple, folks. It's already into the digital. It's so cost-effective, so fast, right? And so watch how that starts to work. My point to my listener, don't get yourself into those parts. Go to the place you need to and make sure you embrace those things. Don't be lulled by the con man. What else would you actually need once you have you have the resources that you need? Whether or not you have all of them, that's just the idea of not being able to be self-sufficient. Because that's why it takes a multitude of people working. That's why societies work. Everyone has a part in it. But they're not all extorted like in the United States or everywhere. In the United States, we have property. It has to have certain rules before it can be taken. It's still not perfect, but it's a whole lot better. And yet we allow ourselves to be ripped off. We allow ourselves to be mischaracterized as a taxpayer. And suffer extortion, your civil right. I don't know how many new people coming in. I'm told we got lots and lots of people coming in, clicking through. If you stick around any length of time, I hope you start hearing this. Your civil rights is extortion. One of them, and pains and punishments. You ever think about that? You think I'm nuts? I just talk about this stuff. I'm sensational. No, go read it. Title 42, USC 1981. Go read the part that says. You're to enjoy extortion. It's called exaction in the law. It's wrongful extortion. It's not even extortion. It's worse than that. So we start getting into those statuses, and the government treats you as its property. That's a municipal law also as well, Title 42. Then where do you think your life goes? And then you have a complaint why you don't have rights. Well, you don't have property. You don't have property in yourself, and you're not capable of defending it. And you're not capable of being together, getting together people to do so. And we fight amongst ourselves. And I have to say, I've been shocked to find out that I'm now seeing that firsthand over the last 2 years, being trapped where I'm at with people that I thought were friends. People I thought, what I was telling you to do, we were doing, I thought, it was flick off like a switch. What happened there? And that's the reality. So, not so simple. Not so easy. So while Trump courts genocide, filling his cabinet with those sympathizers, Israel's committing war crimes, says a former defense minister. The war against us is not just here and there. It seems to be every government, in particular those that have that persuasion. It's in them. It's in their genes, I think. Israel committing war crimes. Moshe Yaalon once supported the occupation of Gaza, but now accuses Benjamin Netanyahu of ethnic cleansing. Former Israeli defense minister Moshe Yaalon has accused the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of plotting the ethnic cleansing of Gaza and claimed that the Israeli Defense Forces troops are carrying out war crimes in the Palestinian enclave. And I've said, again, I'm bringing this up, the war against you at the home, you don't notice it, you're in an open-air prison, you've been turned into property that doesn't have any rights, you don't even know that. You complain about the things they provide for you as the government says it's a benefit, and yet you don't protect yourself, is no different than war crimes taking your resources, you as a natural resource, you as human capital. This is a war crime. And so I, to me, just reading this story is like reading the United States of America, so-called. Ethnic cleansing of Gaza and claimed that the Israeli Defense Forces troops are carrying out war crimes in the Palestinian enclave. Yaalon served as the IDF chief of staff during the Second Intifada, a Palestinian uprising that began in 2000 and ended after the Sharm el-Sheikh peace summit in 2005. This guy's not a saint either. So when the minor demon is actually calling out another major demon, this is about pretty serious. He went on to serve as Benjamin Netanyahu's defense minister from 2013 to 2016, overseeing Israel's 6-week war in Gaza in 2014. Since leaving office, he has become an ardent critic of Netanyahu. Israel has launched an unprecedented wave of military destruction, citing a war on Hamas in Gaza for over a year. The onslaught has killed over 45,000 people, created famine conditions, and displaced nearly all of the residents of the densely populated territory in recent weeks. Israel has focused much of its firepower on northern Gaza, having issued an evacuation order covering large swaths of the region last weekend. A lot of things going on this last week in this area, this Middle East region we were talked to about by the Pentagon. Last episode made a report. The evacuation order Yalon claimed on Sunday is an attempt to hide an ongoing ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. I am compelled to warn about what is happening there and is being concealed from us, he told Israel's Khan broadcaster. At the end of the day, war crimes are being committed, he added, citing information provided by the IDF commanders in Gaza. This guy's not sweet and nice. No, he's part of this thing through, but he can't even take it. It's so bad. And then they're turning their attention to the stuff that's happening in Syria. I can't tell what end is up in Syria. There's such a dense amount of opposition media that I have to say that it's the UK, the US, and Israel doing the media relative to what's happening in Syria and the running the place down and over. I'm not so sure if even that's the truth, but that's what we're told. That story, that narrative's just everywhere. And every once in a while we hear from the Syrian government. But if it's true what's going on, and it's not just a narrative, Assad might be on the ropes here, and he may not last too much longer. And so that's an attack on what? The axis of resistance to continue the genocide of the Palestinians by the Israelis. And so this is a very interesting turn of events going on. But you see this guy coming out saying, no, they're committing war crimes. After everyone's, you know, we've got the judges saying that there's war crimes. There's people, there's now a report. If we had to wait for the Amnesty International report to say so as well, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, what we are the problem if we have to wait for that report. But here we are. They're even making the report. It's not even a question at this point. And yet this all continues for, I suppose, greater Israel. And then look at the incoming cabinet and who Trump has put around him beyond the techno swamp that is in league with that faction. And of these facial organs, why is this the preferred news? As I heard just before that, U.S. Israeli hostage Captain Omar Nutra confirmed dead, IDF announces. You got to listen to these reports very carefully. The Israeli military confirmed Monday that an Israeli-American soldier, you get that? American soldier, an Israeli-American soldier, isn't that like against the law or something? American soldier, previously believed to have been captured alive by Hamas during its October 7, 2023 attack against Israel, is now presumed dead. So, believed to be and only presumed dead? Or is it, oh, we know, but we can't let on with the Hannibal directive and all here, because especially after we hell-fired our own people and blamed Hamas. It was previously thought he was being held hostage since then, but officials have announced it is thought he was killed on the day of the Hamas attack, and his body was then taken into the Gaza Strip. That makes a lot of sense. So it's only a thought, if we read carefully. They thought he was held, or only thought he was killed, or so now how was he killed? And why hold his body? Why drag it into Gaza? They didn't drag anybody else. In a statement announcing the death, the Israeli Defense Forces did not say how they came to the conclusion over Nutra's fate. So you have no explanation for your conclusion over his fate. Really? Really? Isn't it as reasonable, the conclusion that he was taken by Hamas, like many others, we got reports, likely wounded, and they took him to escape the fate of the Israel's cannibal directive, or after being buried in the rubble of buildings destroyed since then, as some hostages have explained to us? Israel's retaliatory offensive has resulted in over 44,429 Palestinian deaths, with more than half of the casualties being women and children, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, and that's the ones they found. Lavrov just mentioned this is a catastrophe, and there's no end in sight for it. And now Israel, with the help of apparently Turkey, UK, US, and who knows, the CIA terrorists, are now attacking the middle, the core of that region, to get rid of the support for Hezbollah and Hamas, which is attack Syria, take out Assad. And there's so much fog in this report so quick, this reporting, it's hard to make heads or tails at this point. So my question on why this guy? Have you heard of any of the names of those innocent murdered Palestinians, those women and children, even one? But this becomes the news? again, is the control of the media to be able to perception manage you. It's very difficult to stay away from and to try and find the truth, essentially, the facts that you need. And in another report, it seemed Israel is killing all the hostages it blames on Hamas. As we read, Hamas, 33 captives killed in Gaza since onset of war. Hamas announced that at least 33 captives held by the Palestinian resistance movement in the Gaza Strip have been killed since the start of Israel's normal, nearly 14-month-old war in the besieged enclave. The groups issued a video statement on Monday saying that the captives were killed, quote, because of the stubbornness of the war criminal, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and, quote, his ongoing aggression. Hamas's video lists and dates the incidents in which the group noted captives were killed. Most of them were killed by airstrikes. However, some were rescue attempts by the Israeli military gone wrong. According to Hamas, the first incident was an Israeli air raid that killed four captives on October 9, 2023. The latest was the killing of a captive during the Israeli military operations in northern Gaza last month. By continuing your mad war, you may lose your captives forever. Do what needs to be done before it's too late, the video concluded. Incoming U.S. President Donald Trump issued his own statement on the captives later on Monday, warning in a social media post that there would be hell to pay if they are not released by January 20th, the day he takes office. Quote, those responsible will be hit harder than anybody has been hit in the long and storied history of the United States of America. Release the hostages now, he added. To which I responded to the president-elect Trump on X Twitter. Real Donald Trump, you're acting contrary to international law and by relation, U.S. law. You acted contrary to Constitution and state local law launching the great COVID swindle at warp speed. Operation hashtag hindsight 2020. Your ear nick wasn't a mandate to become a lawless showboating thug. Hashtag not terrific. And this so-called Christian president agrees that the Zionist cult political movement is entitled to destroy Christian history and culture. All in the same days, just days apart, Israeli forces blow up historic Shrine of Shimon in southern Lebanon. Israeli forces destroyed a religious shrine in the village of Shama in southern Lebanon on Friday, garnering widespread condemnation. The area is revered among Shia and Christian populations, as Christian worshippers believe a Christian saint is buried there, and Shia believers have constructed various sites to honor Imam Mahdi. According to an Arabic news site, Arab B21, Lebanese sources said that the Israeli forces directly targeted the Shrine of Simon, is what this Shimon, it's Simon, Simon Peter, also known as the Shrine of St. Peter, with explosives after invading the village. Video footage captured by the Lebanese outlet Al Akbar and verified by CNN showed plumes of smoke rising from the complex where the shrine is. Other reports stated a historic castle built around 908 years ago and multiple homes were blown up in the Israeli attacks. Akbar correspondent says an Israeli enemy threw smoke bombs towards Shama to cover up their soldiers withdrawing after they were targeted by the resistance, but they failed and are still being besieged in the shrine of the Prophet Shimon while being exposed to gunfire from all sides, another wrote. Lebanese National News Agency later said that the Israeli forces withdrew from the hill where the shrine is located due to intense resistance by Hezbollah fighters. During the Israeli attack, the nearby UN peacekeeping site was also targeted by artillery shelling, the official news agency added, and further checking looked at the Israelis were shooting the peacekeeping site again. So why does Israel, even if it were legitimate, deserve any respect for its culture or mercenary American dupes when desecrating the holy places of others, even if it were not a violation of international law? These despicable Zionist and barbaric heathens do not deserve to live among people, it seems, and a small rock outcropping in the South China Sea may be too good for them. Besides, I don't think Davy Jones would want them anywhere near his locker. Even Hitler had an agreement with the Catholic Church, don't you know? What we're watching right now is despicable. Who's supporting this is indefensible. 100-year-old Nazi death camp suspect to stand trial. Earlier this year, Gregor Formenik was deemed not fit to appeal before the courts. German courts have opened the way for a 100-year-old alleged former concentration camp guard to stand trial, overturning an earlier lower court decision that he was unfit to do so. The suspect, identified as Gregor Formenik in the German media, was charged last year with complicity in the murder of more than 3,300 people while working in an SS guard battalion at the Sachsenhessen death camp during World War II. About 3,300 people. Israel is killed, murdered 45,000 to date. So let's scroll down to the troubling part, at least for me. Under German law, anyone who worked at a Nazi concentration camp can be prosecuted as an accessory to the murders committed there. A landmark ruling in 2011 served as a legal precedent when John Demjanjuk, a Ukrainian guard at the Sobibor death camp, was found guilty of complicity in the murder of 28,000 Jews. Now, the proof that is a troubled and inadequate injustice and disrespectful memorial, without questioning the story we are told regarding the death camps, accepting that for a moment. The article reads, Formenik was reportedly a member of the SS Guard Battalion Sachsenhessen concentration camp from 1943 to 1945, located just north of Berlin. The facility held more than 200,000 Soviet soldiers, Jews, Gypsies, and other prisoners between its construction in 1936 and when it was liberated by the Soviet and Polish troops in 1945. By varying accounts, between 40,000 and 100,000 inmates are estimated to have been killed by forced labor, starvation, execution, and medical experiments at the camp. Now, why I'm interested in this is why, if more than 200,000 Soviet soldiers, Jews, Gypsies, and other prisoners, that between 40,000 and 100,000 inmates are estimated to be killed by forced labor, starvation, execution, and medical experiments in the camp, where only, he says with no disrespect only to the 28,600 Jews, that they only mention the Jews. Is their murder more important than the rest of the greater amount of others murdered that they are not equally remembered? Their memory not done justice? Or is this another deceitful political narrative to promote inequality, replacing morality with legalism, that some are chosen and enjoy more justice than others? So who are these people that, contrary to their own self-claimed exaltation, we are told are actually doomed, having lost the covenant with God, if in they do not repent of their past rejection, and that they are exalted now, and while claiming a title Jew, that no man or the government of Germany determines but God, as it says in Romans 2:28-29, and myriad other passages when you go read for that subject matter. Why is the number of murder of 28,000 Jews more important and noteworthy than 70,000 Soviet soldiers, Gypsies, and other persons killed or executed at the same places? And then looking at those wrongly claiming to be Jew, twice removed liars, when of the Zionista political movement, are they then allowed by Germany and other nations to commit directly the genocide and war crimes condemned against Gregor Formenik indirectly? And with a very similar reflection with the U.S. government internment of American citizens, of Japanese and many other ancestries, immigrant Americans placed in concentration camps, their lives destroyed, the property stolen, businesses ruined, lives lost. And those of Japanese ancestry the only ones to receive reparations. All the other American citizens, such as the lawfully immigrated Europeans, received nothing. They're thrown into the dustbin of history. And I'm sure a number of other peoples could claim their own historic injustice in the United States as the country grew. But I don't want to get that far off track just going through and naming all those problems. The hypocrisy, the virtue signaling by Germany here is really more the important part. The disrespect to others that died to exalt a certain people. And a further interest, also looking that President Trump may be invoking the same internment mechanism for non-citizen border jumpers. And I'm sure that internment won't include any more noteworthy chosen or dual citizens able to evade the laws of the United States with a quick trip to illegally occupied Palestine either. And these hypocritic virtue signaling injustice continues because even today we only see the murder of 28,000 Jews. But disregard the disrespect here, again, of 70,000 people killed or executed, even those sacrificing their lives to stop it, such as the Soviet and Polish troops, now the vilified Russian soldier of today. Whatever happened to that handshake and the embrace across the Elba River is likely the victim of those jealous deceivers and their race into the stinking abyss, taking us with them, if we let them. Speaking of narrative Nazis run amok, as I said regarding the Australian age verification legislation, everyone, everywhere is presumed a child without capacity or majority. Men and women are presumed to be the state wards until you can prove you are the government's dummy subject first. Now, coming to a government-influenced social media site near you. As we read, Meta pushes for a digital ID revolution. Did you know there's a revolutionary war going on being waged against we the people, folks? Well, here's a shot heard around the world. And remember, I've said a long time ago, it would be waged and lost through your phones. Meta is coming out as a supporter of age verification, and the proposal to the giant is putting forward exposes the sums of and sums up many of the points critics have been consistently making. A blog post by Meta VP and Global Head of Safety, Antigon Davis, proposes to implement age verification at the operating system app stores level. Although the narrative around child safety and difficulties of parenting, quote, in the digital age dominates the article, quote, the meat of it are the implications that this approach brings with it, namely, it creates a situation where, down the line, people would be forced to link real-world identity to their phone's operating system. And everything they do using the phone is exposed to that OS. So as government imposition in America, instead of leaving options available to mothers and fathers as they see fit for their family and machines, this is applied generally seems to me to be a trust breach, speaking of the United States only. Being men and women are of capacity beneficiaries of the Constitution, the government, and the trusteeship established from which does not exist without that capacity or sovereign power of we the people, those men and women, or their posterity consequently, to ordain that Constitution in the first instance at all. And therefore, this age verification requirement is a fraudulent mischaracterization to attain a fraudulently private information under a color of a fraudulent need, which works to commit felony extortion of the property of your actual status, being other than the U.S. government property. Remember 42 U.S.C. 1981. It's other than that status there, and it's a felony coercion of your rights in your property to use an increasingly necessary information and communication environment, among many other things, as they move us into that digital gulag. And all of this, of which the websites are immune to anyway. Remember that Section 230. But for the government meddling with the social media through the Smith-Mundt Act to mal and miss and disinform we the people in thwarting us from our duties and obligations to check maladministration and protecting ourselves, there should be no connection between the two, and these private social media sites would then be regulated by open market factors where people would have a choice. But see, you are the product, and the profiteers look at every angle of exploitation the phone technology can provide. Meta is trying to lead the way here in introducing industry standards. The proposal looks to embed technology into different operating systems and app stores. When it comes to what a social media company should consider age-appropriate content, Meta is again arguing common standards that would be observed by everyone, globally. And to avoid a trust breach, the government ought to be protecting the posterity from this sort of exploitation and vulnerability, not citing and abetting it. I now call your attention to the Trump stalking his TechnoSwamp administration and the visit by Zuck to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring and grovel to ensure his share of the ill-gotten technocratic trade, trace, and trade gains that simultaneously, it seems, that are also headed to Mars. The revolution to transform America into a Siberian Gulag member state has begun, and Trump's billionaire club is leading the way. No different than Russia is doing with the BRICS. Nations would be billionaires in that regard. Is there any operating system that doesn't play nice with the billionaire club? And are you willing to use that instead? Are you willing to donate to RLM to continue to build the system that will isolate you from the fast enveloping cyber gulag imprison you here? Are you thinking about this in the future as we move forward, what they're doing? I'm not sure people are actually with this situation. They're less than enthusiastic so far about with RLM. Is talk so cheap now that it's not worth a coffee? Have I been wasting my breath? Clearly, some of you don't think so. And someone else just stepped up in a big way to get access back on X. Figure that obstruction out. If X is supposed to be the town square, only if the hoops can be jumped through. It's not any town square, but there may be ears to hear there. So thank you for helping access X Twitter again for more easily for us. Right, Vince? Easily? But, you know, I think about this. I start to think about what's been going on. What the listenership, what the viewership, what SoundMind's doing to spread this word out. It's plant the seeds that we need to be planting. And out of half a million views, we're coming into a time in a half a million views in a month. There's only one party that donated outside of the big help we got to get X Twitter. And I think on the lack of support, I wonder if ours was a pipe dream here, that not many are interested in supporting in favor of the convenience of stealthy government enslavement in this coming Siberian gulag. I've heard people are only interested that the chains rest lightly on their wrists, but my goodness sakes alive, folks. Change my mind. Donate to Sound Minds at RLM today, or better yet, don't wait until today. Donate right now. Don't worry about missing anything I have to say right now while donating. Just donate now anyway. If you miss something I say, you can get the free download so you don't miss anything. See how that works? I'm told we're on track for a half a million views over this next month. Is there even 1 in 10 listening who have the spirit and commitment to being free from this continuing oppression that we can see around the world, in almost every people, it seems, to donate a coffee or a PayPal before you can't? Remember how that's working as well. Well, you think it's not happening. It's already happened well within 10 years. They're right at the door. And we're working to bring about an unstoppable and untraceable communication of information network through what Grimner started at Real Liberty Media, content not surpassed by many, if any, in the world, I think. You can be the judge of that. Maybe we are surpassed, and that's why we can't get but one donation over 2 weeks. I'm asking people to donate to Sound Minds at RLM. It's greatly appreciated if you do. Find Woodshed here. But with that, make sure to find and check out the new PeerTube channel. And if you feel like helping spread the word, planting seeds, start your own account and syndicate the RLM broadcast channel. SoundMinds can explain how. You get in touch with them. Find his link tree. Get in touch with him in one of the syndicated accounts. And I hope my listener will decide to be the flesh and blood revolution the cyber billionaire club didn't count on and can't stealthily club you into submission like a baby seal like they're trying to do, whether we see that or not. And we know it's coming quick because some countries already require the parents provide government-issued ID and app stores in order for their children to use a phone and set up accounts. Meta wants the EU to mandate by a legislative framework that it applies across all member states and for all apps teen use. So much your First Amendment right there. How does any country, let alone a website, know who is a parent, not a parent, or a child? And at this time, the government bludgeon can't differentiate. And the only tool then is that it is coming for every one of you. And that is consistent with the government wanting to track and trace you, not any different than big tech profiteers that need to have their way, with you, with your information. So what are the alternatives? Find them. Help RLM is one you choose. And if so, donate today to help build RLM up to what we think we can do with it. The TechnoSwamp is gaining, not draining, the insider advantage. So don't wait. Returning to Zuck's groveling, it certainly pays off for them. With the additional attention to Trump, the warp speed attack, Trump's Surgeon General pick supports social media digital ID, praised Facebook censorship of vaccine misinformation. Some of what Faceplant called misinformation was actually the law, the facts, and the truth, told behind the woodshed to cover up what Trump did. And it's no wonder he puts another genocide pounder in place to follow up in this regard as well. As President Trump's second administration is taking shape, his picks for various key positions are expected coming under scrutiny, with the choice of a Surgeon General nominee causing particular interest. The nominee, Dr. Janet Nashewat, has in the past defended issues like digital ID and online age verification, because also even big tech, specifically Facebook, censorship around COVID topics. As a result, as recently as March and July of this year, Nashewat appeared on Fox News to call for teens and young children to be banned from social platforms. Parenthetically, the contentious question here is whether rarely the intent, but rather the method, namely using digital ID for age verification. In March, she defended Florida House Bill HB3, mentioning the usual accusations that the Internet represents a serious threat to young people's mental health, but also life, in a plethora of ways. So save the children, right? And then they attack you through somebody else. Quote, I think social media should be banned to all teenagers, to all young children, because it's done nothing but harm. That's a pretty absolute statement. I wonder what her proof of that is. She told Fox News at the time, insisting on such solutions is often a way for governments to pander to the constituents that they at the same time fail to inform about the consequences of online age verification, and those are the invasive methods that seriously undermine everyone's privacy and security. And requiring you extremist truth seekers to cough up your personals gives the government the ability to hunt you down for your wrong think, for yourself and your silence, and to silence you as well. Think about that. Cut off your reach, despite all that free speech. Right, Elon? As for the COVID lockdown era, the likely new U.S. Surgeon General was once again on Fox, where she is a contributor to not only laud Facebook's approach to censorship of anti-vaccine disinformation, grovel, 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 zook, in Mar-a-Lago, that targeted RFK Jr., among many others, but to encourage other platforms to act the same way. You hear infighting coming here? Meaning she and therefore Trump agree to the mass killing and irreparable harm wrought by the warp speed attack that had no basis in law whatsoever. But this is said to be the new Surgeon General, and it will not surprise me in the least to witness Warp Speed 2.0 attack only modernized, and right after everyone has been age verified for retaliation by the very justice and injustice that both presidents and both parties condemned against themselves, just us, not you, with immunity. And all of this is a censorshipmanship is not bad enough. Your speech is deemed misinformation despite Meta's Nick Clegg admits excessive censorship and high error rates in continent moderation. Sounds like AI at work, doesn't it? Error rates. AI errors. Meta is the president of global affairs. Nick Clegg has admitted that the tech... You notice how big this is, folks? That nothing is less than global with these folks. So take that and keep it in your hip pocket. Global affairs agent Nick Clegg has admitted that the tech giant still has too high content moderation error rates. This is another way of conceding that censorship is alive and well on Meta's massive platforms, Facebook and Instagram, but also Threads. That's despite there being something of a shift in the way the issue is treated by Meta, including by CEO Mark Zuckerberg. Now, Clegg, in a blog post dedicated to 2024 global elections, touches on free expression allowed on these social platforms to state that Meta's choice is to find a balance between free speech and keeping people safe. Now remember, the balance that they're supposed to be keeping was supposed to be in favor, if NEPA applied, in favor of mankind, not the unnatural, and not even the natural. But moving through back and looking at this report, they want to keep people safe. So keep people safe, that sort of goes against the Missy Dr. Neschwat's claims misinformation is too, don't it? It's unclear, they say, how Meta keeps people safe. But free speech is a straightforward concept, and here Clegg offers a mea culpa by not only publicly accepting that there are high rates of error, something that he says gets in the way of free expression. On top of that, he explains how it gets in the way, quote, too often harmless content gets taken down or restricted and too many people get penalized unfairly. Extend that statement, folks. Penalized. People get penalized unfairly. Don't think about the content providers. Think about who they're speaking to. How that will translate into action is to be seen. Clegg is much less direct there, saying that the number of policies have changed in order to allow previously more tightly controlled recommendations to prevent some content that would be banned, and that this work will continue. We learned that Meta allows users, quote, to ask questions or to raise concerns about election processes in organic content, but it does not allow claims or speculation about election-related corruption, irregularities, or bias when combined with a signal that content is threatening violence. The mention of a signal is a key here, rather, how Meta interprets its signal and how that could be used as an excuse to block content. So now we've been instructed by your keepers, you've got free speech, as long as that speech doesn't say anything and only speaks in questions. Is that about right, Socrates? Yeah, haven't I always said my questions are not questions? Unless that becomes a signal. Yeah, there we go. There it is. They define it. So it's kind of like that. Some of the most egregious mass-scale censorship was seen on Facebook and other Meta platforms concerning COVID-19. Clegg's mind, Meta overdid it a bit. To Clegg's mind, Meta overdid it a bit. Free speech supporters would have no problem saying, no, you actually overdid it a lot. quote, no one during the pandemic knew how the pandemic was going to unfold, so this reality is wisdom in hindsight, Clegg told journalists earlier this week. Well, unless you were behind the woodshed, you didn't know. But you social media types censored that voice, and you self-wounded hypocrite looked up hop hashtag hindsight 2020. Mr. Clegg, quote, but with the last hindsight, we feel that we overdid it in a bit, and we're actually aware because users quite rightly raise their voice and complain that we sometimes over-enforce and we make mistakes and we remove or restrict innocuous or innocent content. Well, look up hashtag hindsight 2020 to begin to see get a glimpse, just a little one, how badly you overdid it, Mr. Clegg, to irreparably harm people, you blood-stained killer. How about the innocent people harmed in absence of the innocent, unquestionable content? Like ignorance, hindsight today is no excuse for violating the law earlier or even next time. That's what they did to the voice behind the woodshed. That's what they're doing if we didn't have RLM. And it's going to be what they're doing when we don't have a broad-spectrum syndication for the information that I'm asking you to invest in a donation, or step up and do it yourself. And as we learn, we're helping others to know and to do, so that we are all part of this information scene. X is not the news. We will be what is the news, and it'll be something that's not censorable. But I say that. I hope that we'll have enough investment in that in people, and pay hopefully some cash for the infrastructure on that to do so. Taking a broadside to censorship is in this battle already brewing, or will censorship not include anything that the government wants you to hear? As we read, new FCC chairman vows to end big tech's grip on free speech. The newly appointed FCC chairman Brendan Carr has made it clear that dismantling the censorship cartel is his prime goal. His plan to address what he perceives as a rampant censorship of social media platforms and beyond was detailed during a recent interview on the Sunday Morning Futures. Quote, combating tech censorship is going to be one of my top priorities. We need to restore America's right to free speech, Carr emphasized. We discussed the role of major tech companies like Faceplant in this alleged cartel, accusing them of collaborating with advertisers and government officials to curtail the free speech rights of the public. Quote, you mentioned a Faceplant and other companies. They've been part of the censorship cartel that have worked with advertisers. They worked with the government officials to censor the free speech rights of everyday Americans, and they got to the end because censorship isn't just about stopping work, it's about stopping ideas. It's all well and good, but there is the admission that the censorship cartel is the Smith Modernization Act government-influenced big tech cartel. And what we've been just heard here as well is free speech means speaking in questions. As long as Missy Dr. Naishwit says it's not misinformation. So what's a Trump insider FCC chairman supposed to do? Well, we're going to have to wait and see, but I'm not holding my breath while we're working to make the FCC and the government censorship cartel irrelevant. Well, unless that's a pipe dream, and we build it, and no one comes, because this ID-verified government property Siberian gulag inmates find being captive here being so much easier than keeping the Republic is where they may rest. This article says the appointment of Carr comes at a time when many have accused big tech firms of bias and suppression of certain voices. Facebook faced backlash for limiting information labeled as misinformation during the COVID-19 pandemic. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has recently expressed regrets over yielding to Biden-Harris administration's demands to censor specific content. Will Zuck regret groveling to Trump, or is groveling just another profitable government-protected business decision at your expense? Because it's the billionaires' club, and you ain't in it. Efficient government running cover for the special interest techno-swamp is what I'm seeing. This has been BTWRLM 606, and I'll be with you tech diffs for nature willing.
It goes cold, the hour is near, behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three, Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn, dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned.
Call behind the woods.